1 Samuel chapter 14. We'll just read a couple verses here to get started. Verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Geba under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the other name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sinah. And the forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bears armor, Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by a few. And his armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Let's go ahead and pray before we get started. Lord God, we thank you once again for church. God, thank you for your book. Lord, thank you for your words that we can study, Lord, that we can teach and preach and hear, Lord, and guide our lives with it. And I pray that you'd give me the words now, Lord, that you'd fill me with your Spirit. Lord, that you'd help these people to have receiving hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to look over the life of Jonathan here in a couple different stories this morning and look at what I would call the legacy of Jonathan, the thing that he left to his children and to those behind. A legacy has a couple different definitions, but one of them is something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past. And so when I say the legacy of Jonathan, what I'm talking about is what Jonathan has left us, what he has done in the past, and what he has left us to follow after, what he has left us to look at and to gain examples from. And the question is, what are we leaving behind to our children? Most of us in here, except for a few, all have children. What are we leaving behind to our children? This isn't just a normal, you know, Sunday school teaching. This is more of a preaching this morning. But, you know, we nowadays, it seems like nowadays, especially nowadays, there isn't so much of the family farm and the family cow and it has to be passed down, and that's how we scrape together our living and do those sort of things. And so an inheritance isn't so much looked at anymore, probably because the government gets like 95% of it when you die. But there is something that we need to look at in our lives that we would leave behind to our children, and that's an inheritance. And I'm in no way talking about money this morning. I'm in no way talking about just the monetary leftover from where your assets and your expenses and everything get canceled out and what the kid gets when you die. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the inheritance, the legacy that we leave behind to our children to follow after. What is that? What is that in our lives? What is their inheritance? What is their inheritance? What do our children have to, when they look at our lives and they see what's left behind, what is it? What can they grasp onto to get them through their lives? You know, when Kirsten and I, you know, have been just talking throughout the years with our children, and we made the decision a long time ago that if the Lord makes us rich, we'll really praise Him. And if not, we would rather be poor and spend the time with our children doing what's right than working ourselves to death with two careers and everything else to give them a whole bunch of money. I would rather be dirt poor and eat rice and have children that love God and serve Him than to have a bunch of money and they don't care about God. But what is it? What do we leave? How do we do that? How do we leave behind an inheritance for children to follow after? There's a song, and it's a really good song. It's just a short little thing, but it's called "I Have a Goodly Heritage." And the song starts out that I may not have riches as some other have, but I have a mother who knows how to pray. There may be some things I'll miss in my youth, but I have a father who stands for the truth. And the chorus goes, "I have a goodly heritage. I'm blessed with things you can't see. I have a goodly heritage, and that is worth far more to me And if in the future my parents pass on to dwell in that city we've come to call home, they may not leave me the wealth of this world, but I will inherit their God and His word. How many children can, at the passing of their parents, say, they may not have left me $1 million, but they've left me a life that says that they loved God and they've instilled that in me to love God as well? How many children can say that? Can our children say that? We need to live our lives, and we need to look at our lives from that aspect. And that's what I believe what Jonathan did. Jonathan lived his life. He left a legacy. He left an inheritance that we can look at and gain a valuable experience from. Jonathan left a legacy of inspiration. Jonathan left a legacy of humility and of submission and of being a blessing to others and to serving. Jonathan left that legacy, and we can learn from that. So in this first part here, in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 1 through 23, Jonathan left behind a legacy of inspiration. Most people will not go out and fight a battle on their own, but they can be inspired to do it by somebody doing right. And as people that believe God, we are supposed to stand alone if that's what it comes to. But sometimes all it takes is a little helping hand by somebody to bring somebody else along so that they can get in the battle. That's what it takes. That's what it's taken for me in my life, is that certain key points in my life, older men have stepped in and said, well, go this way just a little bit and do this, and it got me on the right track. And it helped me move forward. There have been men in my life that when I was, I want to say probably like 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there, and we started street preaching, and I was scared slapped to death to stand on a street corner and just quote John 3:16. I couldn't get it out. Could not get it out. I couldn't mess it all up. I was probably quoting NIV. I didn't even know it. I mean, it was way out there. I couldn't remember anything. I couldn't do anything. But it took just one man saying, well, just try this. Just do this. And then I was able to get it. He inspired me. I've had many men in my life and many women in my life that have inspired me to go forward. And that's what Jonathan's legacy left. Right here in this chapter, he left a legacy of inspiration. If you read through verses 1 through 23, he tells his armor bearer, he says, why don't we just go up to the Philistines? No big deal. Let's just go to the garrison of the Philistines. We're going to go up. We're going to fight. And if the Lord saves us, He saves us. And if not, we die. I mean, that's really what he's talking about. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, he's talking to his armor bearer, and he's saying, let's go up to the Philistines. And he lays out some different things, and he says, God can save us if He wants to. God is not restrained by one, by few, or by many. God is not restrained in that way. He was battle-oriented. He left behind a legacy of inspiration that he was ready to go out and fight the Lord's battles. He left behind that legacy of inspiration. He was battle-oriented. He made no way for surrender. In verses 4 through 6, it describes the terrain that Jonathan chose to go through to get to the garrison of the Philistines. And there's a sharp cliff, a rock on this side, and a sharp rock cliff on that side. And there's one way to get up through there. And he left no way for him to turn around this way or to turn around that way. He made no way for surrender. He left behind a legacy of inspiration that says, no matter what, I'm not surrendering. I'm not surrendering. Cowardice is contagious. You know that? Cowardice is contagious. I have never been in battle in my entire life. I've been in one fist fight when I was like 6 years old in elementary school. That's it. And I don't even remember it. My mom is the one that told me about it just a few years ago. I don't even remember it. Never been in a battle, never been in a fight before in my life. I hate it. I'm as non-confrontational as they come. But I've been in a basketball game when you're down 25 points and there's enough time for you to make it up, but then one person after another in your team just starts quitting, starts giving up. And then before long, you might as well just kiss the game goodbye because nobody has the heart to do anything else in the game. That's what it's like in life. When one person gives up, it affects those around you. And when you as a parent give up, it affects your children. When you as a parent give up, it affects your children. When you as a parent let down your guard on certain things or let certain things slide, it affects your children. He made no way for surrender. He sought out action. Verse 6, it says, come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. He sought out the action. He sought out the action. This is what people would have known Jonathan for, was that he was ready to go out and to battle for the Lord. Verse 6, at the end of verse 6, it says, "For it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." You know what? He realized who controlled the battle. He realized who controlled the battle. He realized that it was not his number or his sword or his armor-bearer's sword or any number of swords in the nation of Israel that would win the battle for them. It was God. It was God. And if we'll instill in our children, it doesn't matter how much you do or don't do, if you don't have God, you won't be able to accomplish it. We need to tell our children that. We need to tell our children that, you know what, it has to do with whether God is on your side or not. That's all that matters. That God controls the battle. That God controls the battle. He realized who controlled the battle. He was a leader in battle. He was a leader in battle. If you read down through verses 8 through 10, he made a plan. And then more importantly, he allowed God the opportunity to change the plans. He says, we're going to go up here and we're going to fight, but we're going to say this. And if they say this, then we know we're going to win. And if they say this, we know we better get out of there. One way or the other. Who knows what God's going to do, but he made a plan and he made the opportunity for God to change the plans. He made opportunity for God to work. And then, you know what? He goes up and him and his armor bearer go up and everything's worked out and they start slicing away at these Philistines. And you know what happens? Once the men of Israel, who had been hiding in their rocks and their holes and hiding in their tents, once they saw Jonathan and his armor bearer out there slicing up Philistines, they all came out and there was a big battle and Israel won. Because one man was willing to go out and to put himself in the battle and trust God. And that's what we need to do for our children. We need to go out and fight the fights that we're supposed to take care of so that our children see it. So that our children will be willing to step up and say, all right, I can do that because Dad did that. You ever have a little boy that thinks he can do something because Dad can do it? Cole thinks he can do stuff all the time that he's never not going to be able to do for a long time. But you know what? He sees me doing it, so he says, well, I can do that. It's inspiration. It's inspiration. And so what do you inspire your kids to do? What do we inspire our children to do? What do we inspire our families to do and our spouses to do? And those of us in church, the people around us in church, what does our lives inspire in other people? Does it inspire a fight or does it inspire a surrender? And God changes plans. And God moves and God works and we have to be flexible on those things. But you know what? God says go out and fight and our children need to see us fight. Need to see us fight. Jonathan had a legacy of inspiration in battle. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Jonathan had a legacy of humility. Jonathan had a legacy of humility. He had an inheritance. He had a life that showed and was passed down that we can see that was a submission to the will of God in his life. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 through 42, we have the story of where David is supposed to be sitting in front of Saul at this certain feast. And David knows that Saul is going to try to kill him. And so he holds himself back. And Jonathan says, I'll go to the feast. And I'll sit there. And if Saul gets angry or goes after, tries to figure out where David's at, then he'll know that Saul is going to take after David. And then he can warn him of those things. And we know that Saul then ends up getting after Jonathan, ends up throwing a javelin after him. And so he knows that Saul is after David now for sure. And so he goes out and he shoots the arrow. And just going over the story really quick, but he shoots the arrow and tells the lad, you know, it's farther, go on farther. And that's the signal to David. But you know what? Jonathan had every right in the world to kill David and say, that throne is mine. My father is the king. I'm his son. I'm the next in line. I'm the one that should get to sit on the throne. I'm the one that should have the crown. I'm the one that should have the robe and the scepter. I'm the one that should rule and have the wealth. But you know what he says? He says, I know God's on that man right there. And Jonathan was willing to humble himself and to go after the will of God rather than his own will and to support David. That's humility. When we put ourselves down for the sake of somebody else because it's right. You know what most problems are in any place? Spouses, child, employers, amongst friends, amongst enemies, whatever it is, it's pride. Somebody is not willing to admit they're wrong, or somebody is not willing to prefer the other person's actions more than themselves. That's where controversy starts. That's where all of the problems in this life start with pride. And our children see that. And we need to leave behind a legacy of humility, of voluntary service, of voluntary putting aside of our own wills and our own desires and our own actions for the benefit of other people. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, one of the Corinthians, it says, in honor preferring one another. In honor preferring, right before that, right, I think a few verses before that, it says, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And then he goes on and he talks about in honor preferring one another. You know what Jonathan did? Jonathan left behind a legacy of humility that said, it's not my will, it's not my desires, it's not my wishes, it's what God wants, and it's what's best for David. A legacy of humility. Jonathan had a birthright to the throne, and he gave it up for David. He left behind a legacy of humility. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14, it says, and thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not. You know what happens most of the time back in those days when a new king came in? They killed everybody from the old king. I mean, like third cousin twice removed on their mother's side that's been, you know, I mean, they were gone. They were out. They were dead. They were killed so that nobody had any way of claiming the throne from him. And Jonathan knew that. And he says, I want you to promise that you won't kill me. But I want you to promise that you won't go after my kids. You won't go after my kids. Verse 14, verse 15, it says, but thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, everyone from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. Jonathan left behind a legacy of blessing other people. Jonathan was not just worried about himself. He was worried about his children. He was worried about his household. He saw the future need of his children. He saw the future peril of his children. He saw the future, what could happen if David was to get into the throne with his house. And he saw that and he said, I don't want that to happen. And you know what happens? There's a man in the Bible, when David comes in, gets to come into his throne, a nurse picks up a little baby and takes off running, and she trips, and she drops him, and she cripples a man named Mephibosheth. And that man grows up a cripple, and he's down there in Lodabar, probably just living off a meager fare of whatever he can scrounge around. And when David comes in and he gets everything settled, he says, is there any of the house of Saul that I can show kindness to? And there was one son of Jonathan that David remembered a promise for and said, I'll bring him up and I'll sit him at my table. I'll feed him, I'll clothe him, I'll take care of him. That man, Mephibosheth, received a blessing because his father had enough foresight to look at that and say, I want somebody else to be blessed and not just me. It was the blessing of somebody else. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. His children are blessed after him. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Jonathan left behind no physical monetary, any kind of monetary inheritance at all to his son Mephibosheth. He's living in squander, he's living in squalor, he's living probably as a beggar, a cripple. And you know what? Jonathan left no monetary inheritance whatsoever, but he left him an inheritance that was something that Mephibosheth could look at, that God wrote down in the Bible that we can look at, that we can learn from. What kind of inheritance are we leaving our children? What kind of inheritance are we leaving not only our physical children, but our spiritual children? The people that we bring in and that we see get saved and we see grow up and we see them develop, what kind of inheritance do we leave them? What kind of legacy, what kind of things can they look at in our lives once we pass off the scene and say, I can follow after that. I can live on that. That's what we want. You know, when somebody dies off the scene and they leave behind a bunch of money, you want a bunch of money that you can live off of, right? Well, how about we give them some principles and some Bible truths that they can live off of? That they can live off of for the rest of their lives. It's not just about an inheritance that's money, but it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's what Christ did. If you read verses 1, 2, 3, that's what Christ did. He came down, He saved us, He elected us, He called us, He sanctified us, He did all these things, and He left us an inheritance that fadeth not away. That's not corruptible. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. That fadeth not away. It's not money, it's not gold, it's not silver, it's not clothes, it's not cars and houses and lands. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, patience. I think I missed one there. I missed one. I don't remember which one. That's what Christ left us. That's the inheritance that He left us. One more. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Proverbs 13:22, it says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. The first part of that verse says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. That's to your grandkids. That's something, that a testimony that lasts for a long, long time. So what kind of inheritance are we leaving for our children? Not just money. Hey, I would love to have, you know, a cool couple million in the bank and pass on to my kids. I Lord knows that's not going to happen. But I would love that. But more importantly, I want to leave behind an inheritance that Cole and Addie and Ian and however many other kids we have, especially whenever they're not going to get to a million if we keep doing this. But you know what? Then their kids can look back and say, Grandpa did this. Or Dad did this. Or Mom did this. That's how we live our lives. We don't live our lives just trying to save up money. We live our lives trying to save up some things that they can live off of and that they can see and hold and say, God's good. And Dad showed me that with his life. Or Mom showed me that with his life. So that's just a little bit about the life of Jonathan and what he did and how he acted. It was really short and we're done early, but you know what? Just think about it today. Think about it this week. Think about it this year. That it's about an inheritance, but it's not just money. It's a goodly heritage. A goodly heritage. Can we pass that on to our children? A goodly heritage. All right, let's pray. Lord God, thank You for Your words, God. I just ask that what was said would hit home, God, would make sense. And I know it was short and probably jumbled, but Lord, please use it. Help us, Lord, to take this week and tie some strings with our kids and show them how to battle for You, Lord. We should inspire our children to go further. Inspire our children to do more. Inspire our children to fight for you. Lord, we should show our children how to be humble and how to give up the things for ourselves, for others. Lord, we should show our children, we should leave behind an inheritance that says, I want to be a blessing to others. Lord, please, I just beg you to speak through Pastor today, Lord, in the service coming up. Lord, please fill him with your Spirit and give him the words to speak. Thank you, God, for your many, many blessings and your abundant mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.